So those errands are huge. The thank you cards. So calendar management. Okay. So calendar management is a big one. Leaders tend to think they can do more than they can actually get done. I mean, we tend to overbook ourselves. We tend to say we can be somewhere we really can't be, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? So calendar management is somebody who can help to block. If you're trying to hold to a block schedule, they can help you stay on track with that block schedule by saying, no, you need to block this time out. Remember Friday night, you know, you're going to block that out because you're going to do dinner with your wife or your husband. You said you were going to do one night this week, you were going to do something with your daughter and you haven't done that. So I'm going to block that on Thursday night for you. And making sure, because if you're kind of a workaholic, that kind of thing, you can overdo it. And you can put yourself in a position where you actually start to live by the seat of your pants, right? Instead of living by a true schedule, which actually creates more freedom. I remember learning that from Bill Whittle years ago. He said, the more rigid I got with my schedule, the more freedom I have. And it's like when you start to understand that, it seems counterproductive, but it's super accurate. You know, the more we live by the stringent calendar, the more time you find. It's just like the more stringent a budget is for people, the more money they usually have left at the end of the month, right? Versus people are just kind of loosey-goose, you just kind of go for it. It's like, I'm always broke, you know, or I'm always out of time. I'm always running. I'm always behind, right? Travel. This one, if you travel a lot, you know, they can purchase your airline tickets. So they can, you know, your hotel, your dinner reservations. Hey, I'm going to go here. This is what the calendar is going to look like. So I'm starting to meet with my girl once a week in person. Or you could do it on Zoom, of course. And we do a debrief for the whole week of what I want my week to look like. And I'm slowly working her into then doing all of these other kinds of things and truly being an actual executive assistant so that she can take a lot of these errands and just little things out of my life so that I can focus more on growing my business. The one thing that I can do that nobody else can do. It's like nobody else can do these certain elements. Nobody else can talk to somebody who has seven figures. Nobody else can talk to the person running an 8-figure plus business and sit down with them comfortably, chat with them. That's something only I can do. But I can pay somebody to run down to the store and get this and that and handle all these other things. I can pay somebody to do that. Okay. And then handling paperwork, of course, as I said, that's another assistant thing that's really, really important. So I think is first, you know, the executive assistant, kind of that is more the long tail vision. But I think it's just important to think like to have the vision. You know, it's kind of like if that's, you know, making a certain amount of income, like, man, if I could have somebody that did all that for me, that'd be amazing. Okay, well, put that in your pipe, right? And smoke that. Like, think about that. Get that on your head. Think about, okay, well, first I'm going to get somebody to help me with my paperwork and stuff. Then, but man, once I get to a certain point, I can't wait. I'm going to be able to have somebody go to the post office for me, right? The post office for me is like the third ring of hell. I can't stand the post office. I don't know what it is about that place, but it drives me insane. So if I can just like send somebody to do the post office for me, that literally increases my quality of life more than if I made $50,000 more this year. Okay. If I never had to go to the post office ever again. So I just kind of want to open up. I know JC, you hired somebody recently. I'm Mark Drake. I mean, a legend. I definitely have his assistants and that kind of thing. So, JC, why don't you kick in and get us going here a little bit on how an assistant has helped you or what they're doing for you, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate you. Let me speak in on this. Yeah, we're about 3 weeks, no, about a month in. And what's amazing is I fought this for many years. It's kind of like what you said. The thing that you said earlier was, you know, when you realize your real value, your real worth, you know, and I'm starting to see that. But I was also the overwhelming part for me. I was 4 months behind. There's a lot of things as I've been in business longer that I just realized I don't want to do, you know. And so, you know, we've just been slowly working through some things. I've had her working on my CRM, which, to be honest, is probably the worst thing or the thing I've been avoiding. Because I do have so many clients now that I've been avoiding contacting and getting in, you know, keeping those relationships or, you know, mending those relationships in some way? Because I know that in some cases we do a very bad job, not we as this group, but people in our industry do a bad job of keeping contact with their clients. And so I've just slowly been, you know, getting realizing one, here's what I've been realizing. One, there's a lot of things that I do, I have been doing myself, and I haven't been doing them to the potential that they need to be done to. As far as, you know, growing my business, you know, cultivating the relationships, farming through my clients, you know, servicing my clients. When I first hired this assistant, Josh, you're kind of one that you know, prodded me to do it and encouraged me to do it. I was like, what am I going to have her do? And I think until you know, and I only have her about 10 to 15 hours a week. That's where we're starting off at. And right now I just have her, you know, going through my sales team pro, going through my CRM through Primerica, and, you know, and basically getting that all put together. We haven't really started any campaigns. However, because I've had sales team pro for about a year, but I haven't really been using sales team pro. So I've had her start studying sales team pro, studying the different campaigns that we can send out to our clients. And, but again, going back to, I'm like, okay, what am I going to have this gal do? And every time I sit and talk with her, we meet once, maybe twice a week via Zoom. She works from home. I'm amazed at all the stuff that I had been doing or have been not doing. And to pass that on to somebody else is worth the money I'm paying her. I'm paying her, just so you know, about 15 bucks an hour. You know, next week we're going to really start ramping it up. And like you said, Josh, we'll work to the point where she will become more of that all around assistant. But I know that I feel comfortable, or I'm getting excited about the potential of what that's going to do for my business. I'll give you one example, and then I'll pass it on, that I've realized, if you're not doing this already, I think a lot of you are, but I did a review with a client the other night. This was just a random review. They got a couple small Roth IRAs with me and some life insurance, and I got together with them, and because of me not doing, you know, following up as well as I should have been with my clients, I found out that 3 years ago, this gal left a job and had $200,000 in a 401k. Even though she had investments with me, she was nervous, so she rolled it into her new employer's 401k. And I've been seeing more of that. I'll give you that I'm going, holy cow, if I would have been up on my CRM, but which is in addition to adding new clients and running a base shop and having four kids like we do, and you know, a family, and being involved in our church, I didn't put the time in it. But that one client, if I would have been on that, would have paid me probably $6,000-$7,000. I'm giving an example. I don't know what it would cost me, but that would have been worth, you know, the money spent on an assistant. You know, I had another client just this week, just to kind of, I'm trying to give you a reason why to have somebody to do this for you. I got an email. This is a God thing. I had an email of a client who has life insurance with me, not an investment. And they emailed me and said, hey, my husband wants to retire in 2 years. And we sat down, and there's $300,000-$400,000 that we can do a safe or a earlier in service withdrawal to an IRA. I mean, how many clients are we stepping over because we're not doing that? So I'm excited to see where this comes, where this goes. And I'm like you, Josh. I hate going to the post office. The last thing I'll say is this, you know, prospecting is one of the things that we don't like doing. Matter of fact, even when I get a prospect, when I get a name and a number, unless it's a big deal, like, what do I mean big deal? Like it's a huge trade or something like that. I still procrastinate on calling it, because it's just picking up the phone and messaging them and setting that appointment. And so the older I get, the longer I go, the more I realize that I need an assistant. So yeah, that's all I got so far.
Man, that's fantastic. And I'm glad you finally hired somebody after I browbeat you enough, right? That's great. I think the point that we don't really realize how much we do until we start to hand off some of that stuff. And then you realize, oh my gosh, like I was doing so much stuff that I'm now just, and I'm still trying to do this from a point of a little bit of humility for you guys. I mean, I'm naturally a control freak. I love control. I want control. I don't hide it that I like the control. I want to be in control, you know, that kind of thing. Well, it's hard for control people to just release other people to do things for them, because it's like, we want to do it, right? But it's like, that's part of the, what's hard about this is realizing somebody else can do that. But just for an idea on JC's person here, I just figured out the math. The money that he would have made on that $200,000 trade would pay for his assistant for 3 months, a whole quarter of the year is paid for by one prospect, one little normal, not crazy prospect, you know, not, let alone if that brought in a new recruit who became an RVP or brought in $1 million in trades or something, right? I mean, that then it pays for a whole year plus of an assistant, right, in one transaction. So I want to open it up for anybody else. By the way, super excited. Ed Randall's in today. He's got the celebratory thing. So this is his first clubhouse. So very, very cool, Ed. And if you want to come in, Ed, you can see at the bottom, just you can raise your little hand. And then Chris DeMille to bring you up here if you want to speak to any of this, because you've probably had an assistant for longer than most of us have been in business. So anybody else here on stage have a point to make about that?
Hey, Josh,
Cardia. Okay, Cardia, go first. I saw you come up. Then I'll go to Mark and then Dr. Erica. Sorry.
You know what? Getting an assistant was like the best thing. I heard Howard Lashner say that he came and spoke to us probably like last year. And then I heard him a couple of weeks ago. And he talked about just getting that assistant. And it was, I agree with JC, agree with you. There's so much that I realized I was doing that I didn't, that was taking away from me being able to make some money. And when I did that, I just hired a young lady who I've known forever, college student. I'm just like JC. She's working like 9-10 hours a week. And she's calling my clients every 90 days for me. And that has taken so much off the plate. I have Acuity and I was using that. I listened to Roy and getting that and having that assistant. But now she's the one actually, when clients do call in, she's booking my appointments through my Acuity for me. She's asking, would you like to have a Zoom meeting or like have a phone call? And so she's booking it. It's automatically going through. She doesn't have to worry about tracking them. It's so much. I have her doing so much, but I didn't realize how much is taking off of my plate and allowing me to free up so much. And one thing, I agree with JC, I have her in my CRM as well. And she's going through and she's like cleaning it up. She's finding emails that we don't have. She's finding phone numbers that they're not correct. Maybe it's the home number and not the cell number. She's calling on birthdays as well when she's doing the 90 days. So I'm finding that my clients are getting touched more than anything other than just an email. And then she's also doing the sales team pro. So when she finishes her 90 days, her 90 day calls of my, you know, hundreds of clients, then she can turn around and work on the campaigns for STP. And I'm listening to you, Josh, and there's more that I could have her do. I won't overwhelm her just yet, but I love control, but I know what's going on. And one thing I'll say what I did, Josh, as far as giving her some access to my email, I created an email specifically for clients. It's called admin@myname, right? And so that's her email, and clients, she reaches out to them, they reach back to her. She'll forward me the emails if need be. So now I don't have to worry about looking at the emails 50 times a day. She does it. She forwards it. If she's not in, I could easily just look at it. But it just gives that professionalism even more so to the clients, because she's known as the client support specialist. So they know to talk to her about any and everything that is minor, but then she knows to send them to me if it's something big. So it's a big game changer.
It's life changing. It sounds like for you to realize how you're only lifting, like you said, let's say 10 hours a week out of your schedule, but you probably feel like it lifted 40 hours a week, right?
My gosh, yes.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And Cardi, are you the Cardi that we text on Telegram?
Yep.
You are the Cardi. Okay, fantastic. Well, nice to meet you. That's great. Go ahead, Mark. Love to hear from you.
Oh, thanks, Josh. I'm just listening. I mean, everybody's just sharing all the wisdom associated with having an assistant. I mean, this is my 36th year. It's hard to believe. I've had an assistant for 25 of those years, full time. I come from the old school. I remember Mark and Sue Younger sharing why you need to hire somebody to help you do your business. You know, I mean, if it, you know, when we do our job, when we're out doing what we do, I mean, you know, how do you calculate what that hourly rate is? But let's say that it's somewhere between $200 and $500 an hour for doing our work. If we truly make between $200 and $500 an hour for going out there and doing our work, why are we doing $15 an hour or $20 an hour work, right? And so if you mow your yard because you need that therapy, fine. But if it's keeping you from, you know, that hour or 2 hours, again, this is Sue Younger from Stage. You know, she was, you know, cleaning your house, things like that, these tasks. Now, the goal of having an assistant isn't so that you can sit around on your duff and do nothing. It's so that it frees you up to do the work that matters, that builds you a business. And, you know, I was just thinking as I'm listening to people of the evolution of hiring an assistant. For initially, it was all me, right? You learn everything you need to know to do the business. You learn how to do all the paperwork. You learn how to do the follow-ups. You learn how to do the communications with home office and fix the mistakes and do all the paramedics. You do that initially, you do that all on your own. But I remember at the point when my wife became my first assistant and she really helped out take some of the load off. It was always part-time, she took the load off. But at some point, what I realized when for us, is when we hired our first part-time assistant was frankly to free her up so that when I'm off, she's off. You know, if I'm taking a day off, but she's still working, then we're not taking that time off together, right? So that was initially the reason why we hired somebody part-time. I remember the first part-time person that I started to pay, she showed up on a Monday and put in a whole day. And then she didn't show up Tuesday through Friday. She showed up Friday morning. And when she walked through the front door, I was like, "Do you still work for me?" And she said, "No." And it wasn't because of some, you know, crazy event that took place. She just didn't like it after day one and didn't return day two. You know, she was showing up Friday to get her check from day one, you know. So that was my first experience with a part-time person. My second person was a part-time agent that I ended up hiring part-time. She did a fantastic job. And I went through three iterations of that before hiring my first full-time person. And she was with me for 7 years. She actually, when she left me, she went to become a Primerica auditor. She moved to Colorado from Michigan and became an auditor. So Primerica poached one of my full-time assistant, which I wasn't real happy with initially, but we remain friends to this day. But my most recent assistant, she's been with me for 16 years. July was her 16th year. She's full-time. She's been full-time since day one. I pay her a salary, so I don't have to worry about keeping hours, and she doesn't either. She's fantastic. She's been just the best. I think she's the best assistant in all of Primerica. She has, you know, communications with just to kind of give you an idea of what she does. I mean, I hear people talking about the different things that she does. You know, she answers prior to getting Answer Connect. She always answered the phone. She was her hours were 8:30 to 4:30. Since when we went on leave with the pandemic, when she came back, we changed them from 9 to 4. So it kind of gave her a little boost because she works an hour less a day, but her pay, and she also got a raise, but that just is a relational thing. She handles all home office communication. She fixes all my mistakes. She calls every client every quarter and has a communication with them. Most of those are usually left on an answering service of some kind. But she talks with an awful lot of them. She calls every client on their birthday. She runs my send out cards. She's the one that does my STP. I'm terrible on STP because she's handled it from the very, very beginning. You know, she, all my notes, anytime I've got anything that needs to be filed, I mean, she files it. There's certain things that I do that I stay in control of, like filling out applications and things like that. I just think it's important for me to to know the details that I'm submitting for my clients, but I know some people use their assistants for that purpose, for filling out forms. They're pretty easy today. But I mean, those are just some of the things that I think everything that everybody is saying is right on the money. I don't know. You cannot build a successful big income business without getting help. And that's the bottom line. So at some point, you've got to make that decision that you're going to hire somebody. Initially, it can be part-time. I think in today's world, there's so many tools that we have, like Acuity, Calendly, STP, that actually makes hiring a virtual assistant pretty easy today. I mean, and you can have somebody filling in those gaps initially for 5 to 10 hours a week, and then it can grow from there. But so far, I've just enjoyed listening to the conversation.
That's awesome. Thank you, Mark. And Roy and I talked about this one time about how that rarely is. So you got somebody really special. Rarely, and Roy's got two. I have two people. Rarely are they the same person. You know, the person who can handle the back office work for you and do a really good job of like the VBS and the, you know, the life manager and the securities and it is all that real paper document laden stuff is very rarely the person who also makes for a good executive assistant, EA, who will help like make your phone calls for you, book appointments, set appointments, call, you know, client relations, that kind of thing. Because they don't always have the same kind of feel to them. So, Dr. Erica, do you got a question or just something to say? And then I want to bring up Troy Fields. I see Troy Fields popped in. I love this dude. I'm the Schechter code. So, Troy, if you want to raise your hand, if you're good to talk today at all, we're talking about world-class assistants. There's no way that you have been in the business as long as you have without having an assistant. So I'd love to maybe hear from you today, too. So go ahead, Dr. Erica.
Thank you so much, Joshua. Guys, listen, this conversation is so relevant to where I am as a new regional vice president. So thank you all for your contributions and the information. Some of my questions were asked when answered when Cardia was speaking, but I do have the question about the executive assistant. I noticed that sometimes you guys have two. I realized 10 to 20 hours to start. How do you know what skill set to look for in that person initially when you're going to hire an assistant? And also, should that person be licensed or should you work them towards licensing? Those are my questions.
Anybody got something to kick into that? Want to take that for me? Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I think, first of all, mine is fully licensed. She's got her life and securities license. But as Josh mentioned, she is a special find, you know, and she's become a very close friend in addition. Because it's kind of hard to get somebody licensed to start to learn the business and have them not realize they want to do the business. So that's kind of a difficult thing. She didn't. She ran a Verizon store for years and got burnt out on sales and the whole sales management issue. But I think the skill sets are, you know, somebody's got to, you know, be good at communication with clients and be good at handling the as Josh put it early on, the mundane stuff, you know, being able to kind of navigate that. But it's going to require you training them. And that's the other thing that you got to realize. You can hand them off these tools that we have. But, you know, I've got contacts at home office that I've made over the last 35 years that are invaluable to me. Well, I connected her with them and she speaks on my behalf now. So it is going to take a little time training, but that time will come back to you in spades. I mean, it's amazing to me how much work that Sonny does for me that makes my life so much easier. So
thank you for that, Mark.
I would say that it's just a lot to look for, you know, but the main thing I would say is just like in somebody that's probably going to do well at the business is good people skills. I mean, if they're going to be in a position of talking to your clients at all, you want them to have great people skills, that bubbly personality that, you know what I mean? Otherwise, remember, they're representing you if they're having any direct contact with your client, and you want them to be the kind of person that's the biggest thing I look for. I thought I can teach them pretty much anything else, but I can't teach you know, a negative Nancy, as the old saying is, right? I want them to be positive, excited, kind of happy person. I can kind of train in the rest. Go ahead, JC.
Yeah, no, I was going to say something similar. When I looked for my assistant I have now, you know, I obviously looked for the attitude factor. I looked for a voice, you know, on the phone that, you meant that was kind, that was upbeat. I wanted to kind of recreate the excitement, enthusiasm I have when I'm talking to a client. When I interviewed, I mean, this might sound bad. I look for, I don't want to say necessarily a pretty person, but a well put together person, because I just felt that, you know, especially if they're handing my clients. Now, your office manager, I do believe we've always said this, you do it, how you do one thing is how you do everything, right? So I wanted somebody that looked like they took care of themselves, that they were, you know, because they're going to take pride in their work as well. I think that, and then also I go back to the voice and the enthusiasm and the attitude, you know, mainly for me was because and she's going to start doing some calls this week. We haven't got that far, but there might be some de-escalation. There might be in some situations, you know, and that voice behind the phone is going to be somebody that she can continue, that people go, I like hearing her. I like talking to that person. And I know that's just it's hard to find. I don't know. That's just kind of some of the things I look for, because, hey, you're dealing with my baby. You're dealing with my book of business. And I wanted a perception. I wanted a, you know, people go, oh my goodness, that's a sharp person behind the phone. Somebody that understands, that is professional, that, you know, so I look for a lot of those little intangible things. So.
Yeah, that's really good. Ed Randall. I don't know, Ed, if you're available to say anything. Your business, and, you know, with your kids being in the business and being a part of like your shop and helping run things. Have you had an assistant for years, and what does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, many, many years. Can you hear me okay, Josh?
Yeah, all good. You sound great.
Okay, great. Well, I've been in the business 44 years, so I can take you back that far and tell you that my first assistant was the best one I ever had, and her name is Barbara Randall. And so for the first couple of years, we kind of learned the business together as far as an office was concerned. From that point on, I'll fast forward and tell you today I have 5 assistants, actually staff members, if you want to call them that, because we run ours pretty much as a good solid business. And then I think it's important for you to think about it like that. We have a kind of specialist. We have, for example, I have a CFO of my business. Okay, our business is pretty sizable. It involves 3 principals, myself and a son and a daughter, Bill Vandiver and Stacy Murdoch, and both very strong achievers in the business, been with me for licensed for over 25 years. So that's who our staff serves. It serves what we call the Randall family. And so as a result, it's probably bigger than most. It would be like 3 separate RVPs getting together and pooling, if you will. But just to give you a quick rundown, one of the most important ones is our CFO, okay, which happens to be a granddaughter who has the credentials for handling all of the money, all the taxes, anything financial, pays all the bills, runs the business financially for us. Takes all of those matters out of our minds and frees up the 3 of us who are primarily devoted to growing the business and more in the traditional ways. That's been a big help to be able to get that done. She works with our CPA and with our attorney. We have an attorney that helps us with our planning, estate planning. So she is kind of in charge of all of that. By the way, all of these people are fully licensed. Now, the others that kind of fall in place will be more traditional that you guys would be using today, and that is people who are a pure admin person who has a very important function as being our compliance specialist and our licensing specialist. So we kind of departmentalized it, if you will, and these people get very, very good over time. By the way, these 5 people have, with the exception of the youngest one I'll tell you about in a second, these 5 people have been with me for a minimum of 7 years. And so our retention is good. They're very loyal people. They're committed. three of them are family, quite frankly. I've already mentioned one granddaughter, the granddaughter who's in charge of compliance and all basic administrative functions, all of that. And by the way, we do this. We run an all-level hierarchy, which is not traditional. Typically, where most of the younger people are, of course, is focusing on building a big base shop and producing RVPs. But we've pretty much done that. We continue to do what we just the normal things that happen. But we have 147 RVPs. We have about 3,400 licensed people. About 600 of them are licensed with security. So these people kind of oversee all of that, too. So they're working not only I do not have a traditional base shop anymore, but and haven't for years. But on the other hand, they help all the other RVPs focus primarily on the first generations to help them, and so that's what that person does. The other two, by the way, are basically fairly new responsibilities, and it's developing what we intend to have be a world class CRM operation. I think with today's technology, it's absolutely necessary. So these people handle everything from EOTs to client contact. We're in a very aggressive move right now to contact. I have 2,700 people that are clients of mine in my base shop. Stacy and Bill, add that together. We have accommodation between us of about 5,800 clients. Okay, we're working on building that through STP and other methods to try to make sure that we're in touch with them, listening to all these guys like Lashner and others that have really got it together. So we're still in a learning curve because we came to technology pretty early, but on the other hand, not early enough. And not only that, we did not really commit to it like some of y'all are talking about till just in the last year. But I think it's changed our business. These five people are devoted. Well, one of them, by the way, is my kind of what you've been calling an executive assistant, kind of keeps up with me, which is not the easiest thing in the world to do. And so we keep them busy. And last but not least, the one I want to mention is a grandson who is very expertise in technology. I felt I wanted to have an in-house technology specialist. Because there's so much stuff going on. So he is now handling things like we have a website, other things that are specifically his responsibilities. But his primary thing is to make sure we stay up to date. So I had him check out Clubhouse, quite frankly, because this is the newest technology move we made. And I won't be talking a whole lot about it because there's not a whole lot I can contribute to you guys. But I can tell you this. This is the way you learn. This is a great tool, and we're privileged to be able to be a part of it. And thanks, Josh, for inviting me.
Well, thank you, Ed. Thanks for coming in. Everybody, make sure to follow Ed. He's new. That's why he's got the little celebratory thing. So click on Ed's head, and then you hit the follow button in the top right. Make sure and follow him right now. He had 11 followers. Let's see if we can get that. I know we can get that number to 30. So everybody listening, everybody who's speaking, let's bump him up there and show him some love. For all the great input. So thank you, Ed. Really appreciate that.
Thank you, Josh.
I mean, I didn't get the number, Ed. How many assistants in kind of staff you said that's helping in some capacity?
Yeah, there's a total of five. The very quickly, a financial person that handles the firm's finances, a compliance and admin person combination. And then we have two people working CRM and developing that. And then we have our technology guy.
Wow. That's fantastic. Thank you. And look at that. And that allows Ed to still do things like this because he's not bogged down doing all kinds of other stuff. So he can come in and share with all of us, you know, 40 plus years of experience in business and talk to us because he's not bogged down doing other things because he's got five people helping take the weight, right? And distribute the weight around. So,
By the way, Josh, can you still hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Just one thing. Okay. I spend, guys, and this may be something that you would deem foolish, but keep in mind, we're in pretty good shape financially, and I love having these very competent people around me. So that crew of five people, I spend $100,000 a year for. Okay, now some may consider that excessive. They're all licensed, so they also are personal producers. So they have a combination of a smaller salary that I pay them, and it would be probably the equivalent of $15 an hour, something like that, and plus their commission. My goal is for every one of my staff members to make a minimum of $50,000 a year. So I give them the incentive of making all the money they want, and they give me some of the best doggone support you could possibly imagine.
That's fantastic. And that's exactly, thank you, Ed, because that's exactly what I was wondering. I'm doing that with my new person right now, and I'm trying to get her to get all the licenses and show her that, you know, she could get a piece and look at things less hourly and things more commission and carry her own weight, but give her incentive to work as hard as she wants then, you know. So go ahead, Mark. I see you're bumping in there. Go ahead.
Well, you are on top of things, Josh. I don't know. It doesn't need to be said, but what Ed was talking about, number one, isn't that a dream seller to everybody on the line, right? I mean, this is, you know, the idea behind building a business that runs and that pays you whether you work or not. That's the whole point. It's not to be a slave to your business. If those that are listening have never read the book, The E-Myth Revisited by Michael Gerber, it was the first thing that was introduced to me when I met Roy back in 1994. Was you need to read that book, and it really changed my life because it made me think about the whole idea of building this quality of life. Is income is great, but the idea isn't just to have big income, but it's to be completely free. And having that many people around him helping him allows Ed to live the dream in another level. And so, but the part that goes probably doesn't need to be said. And that is that people need to treat their folks good. You need to treat your assistants and the people that are helping you, you need to treat them well. And it's easy to get into a position where you could become bossy. I've seen it, with, people in my hierarchy where they hire people and they're abusive and they don't apply the same principles we've learned in the Art Williams management principles of pushing up people. You can apply those same principles to your staff and find ways to do that and to give grace. You know, everybody needs that. And sometimes things don't get handled the way you want them to be handled, or they weren't handled the way you would have handled them. You got to be able to give some grace and make that a learning opportunity, a training experience, and not browbeat them. Because if you don't treat people well, you're building a reputation, and it's gonna be in not just your clients. You know, one of the things that I've always strived for is 100% customer satisfaction. Customers are not only my clients, but they're also my downlines, right? We want to make sure that they. So you got to communicate that to your assistant and have them be an extension of you and have, they're speaking for you and you're speaking on their behalf. And I just think it's important to have that understanding. It probably didn't need to be said, but it's important that people do that.
Man, I made the mistake of going into the new text message thing in Clubhouse. I couldn't get out, Mark. I couldn't get out in time. If anybody's hit the little, there's a new little message thing. I was texting Troy Fields. He just popped up. Welcome, Troy. Good to hear from you.
Hey, good to hear from you, Josh. Appreciate all the things you're doing right here, man.
Yeah, thanks. You've been in Clubhouse much, or is this really new to you?
You know, it's I've got a page. I don't know if I'm speaking to some people here, but I've got a whole page of all the different things that we have to plug into. It's kind of like Ed Randall said. I see it, and if you seize it, you know, if you seize it, you can seize it. And I think the key thing here is just to keep continuing to move forward, keep getting better. And, you know, we go back to the STAR theory, the STAR, you know, the different types of personalities. I'm a very high A. So my ADHD and all that stuff kicks in, ADD, whatever you want to call it. And but you got to have people around you, the mastermind group, that can obviously we can all win, kind of like Ed said, if you know, they have a part in it, and they're good at it, it eliminates a lot of things that you have to do to make things happen and work. And they can also win as well. So I've got a group of people in our office doing, you know, from end of term to now we're working on the sales team pro, making sure all the numbers are updated, the emails are right, or they don't have emails. So we're trying to get that information, you know, and I would like to find out more information on that because, you know, there's thousands of clients. It's like over, I think it's 6,000 clients that we have, and more that we're adding. But look, I think it's important to make sure that, Josh, I mean, this is amazing. I mean, this Clubhouse, to answer your question, I've been on this probably for about 3 or 4 months, haven't used it, but I know it's a way we can collaborate, and grow. I mean, this is like the speed of the game back in the day. I mean, I know I'm probably going off a topic, but you used to have to wait to a Saturday training class or, you know, a fast start school to get this type of information. Typically, it was not this type of information because you didn't have enough time to answer and give people what they need. It was more stage talk, where this here is just like, okay, we can go on a topic and let's give it. And people can grow and change and learn. And so I've got, I mean, my wife just, she's amazing. She does a ton of stuff in our office, from pending business to you name it. Okay. And, you know, I call it like a therapy session. Our agents come in there and they sit in the golden chair, which it is golden. And, I mean, it's more of a therapy session, but they get everything they need. But now through all these different avenues, man, it's amazing where we're going. And I'm just here after 25 years, a quarter century, you know, in this business, saying, okay, you know what, I got to grow. And I'm excited about the change. I'm excited about moving forward and all the things that y'all are bringing to the table. And look, you said, I think you said something earlier, you know, about me, but look, I'm more motivated by all the things all you guys are doing. And, I got guys on my team that are inspired by what y'all are doing. So I'll thank you for that. And anything I can add to the table, I'm in. And thank you, Josh. Appreciate it, man. Hopefully that helps.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you, Troy, for being here and being a part. I mean, if you guys aren't familiar, Troy Fields, absolute legend in the Whittle hierarchy. So, yeah, I think like for a guy like you, and it's like me and everybody else on the stage. I mean, everybody's different. You know, some of us are real high A personalities, and you got that intensity. And you just get exhausted by doing, you know, certain avenues of the business. And if you can just pay somebody to do that, you can retain your energy to use it on something else, you know, and on people, you know, and actually give that energy where it can actually serve you, you know, rather than, you know, burning it up on, you know, paperwork or something that really drives you nuts. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's playing to your strengths. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you look at any great coach, Nick Saban or anything, you know, a lot of people don't know, like Nick Saban has 80 people that are just grad assistants that are doing all the things that, you know, they're working to be like him or have an opportunity to be a coach someday. Right. So everybody wins in this situation. And that's what I'm excited about, Josh. And so hopefully that helps.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, JC. And then I want to kick down to Dave Deal and Dano before we run out of time here. If they got something to say, go ahead, JC.
Yeah, no, I just had a question and maybe this will help from some of the listeners is, you know, how do you prioritize? I don't listen to Ed. I'm going, at what point in my business do I need a CFO? What point in my business do I get a lawyer? You know, you have five different assistants. And I mean, there's some people on here like I was going, okay, what's the priority first? Is it the back end office manager? Is it the CRM manager? Is it all that? And so at what levels and what point in time, if Ed wants to answer this or somebody, when you go, okay, yep, I need to get somebody for this thing versus is it too, before it's too late, if you get what I'm saying?
Man, that's a tall question.
Sorry.
It's good, but I think it's part of it, and I'll just reference just because this came out of the book, it's those four indicators. If you're overwhelmed, distracted, you're not focusing on your strengths, and number four, if you're too stressed to get help. You know, it's like if you start to see those, they need to get done, you know, and you probably got to get somebody in the position of handling it for you. So has anybody got something to speak to JC's point? Otherwise, we'll
think you'll know. I think you'll know when it's time, JC. I think it's, you know, it's. I don't think you need to get too consumed with that in your thoughts about when do you need a CFO. I mean, Ed is worth, you know, tens of millions of dollars, and it's not just he's not just running a cool client base and he's got a few people in his team. I mean, he's built an empire, really. And so I think that time will come when you want to, you know, at what point you need a lawyer. You need PLPP. That's what you need. I mean, you don't need to worry about much beyond that. You know, so you should have a CPA, right? You should have somebody that will help you with your payroll at some point, so you don't have problem with taxes. You know, because you can get into some issues if you're, you know, if you're not paying your people correctly. And I think you need to at some point get them on a payroll where you're paying some taxes and there's some extra forms involved, and you can have a good CPA that takes care of you and takes care of your payroll and things like that. But that'll come initially. You might just be 1099 in some assistance part time, you know, for the year. But at some point, when you get a serious person that's committed and you want to put them on some type of payroll, and you got to make sure you take care of those types of things. But just keep seeking those kind of questions. You know, have those questions. Seek them out. The people that have been there before you, and you'll be fine. So
awesome. Thanks, Mark.
Awesome. Yeah, Dave, I want to hear from you here before I get to wrap up the morning. So go ahead, Dave Deal.
Sure. Thanks, Josh. Yeah, Mark, I agree with what Mark said, JC. I think anytime I've said in my business, I need another me, meaning I'm trying to do too much, that's when I start to look at where do I need to expand. I mean, of course, recruiting, but I mean, as far as admin, is, you know, how do I do that? And, you know, you'll go through different, you know, time periods, because I know for a lot of the leaders on here, you know, I did it all myself first, and then my wife jumped in, and then she was the office manager for a while, and then we started hiring assistants as CRM became available, and different things as, you know, again, as we expanded our business. So and I also agree with Mark in that you got to have a CPA involved. They will help you with payroll, and now we have a payroll company doing things and, you know, things like that. So I think, as Mark said, I think you it'll be a natural expansion. I don't wait too long, though, to do it, because then you can start getting into, you know, you're doing work that somebody that could be paid $10, $15 an hour could be doing. So, and then, you know, lastly, we created a sheet. It's kind of our office staff sheet to introduce all of our clients to it. We have their pictures on it. We put what their role is in our office, and then their direct phone number so that they can be contacted. And then that takes the admin off of us as well. And then that way I put that sheet in every FNA. And then that introduces our staff to, like I said, our clients. So they know who's calling them. They know what they look like. When they come in the office, they can identify with them. And, you know, just like most of you, our staff has built a great relationship with our clients, which I want. I want my clients. The best compliment I can get is when one of my clients says, "Hey, I like talking to them better than you." So, you know, that's a compliment.
That's fantastic.
Anyway, so just the thought, man. Thanks,
well,
Mark.
Well, thank you, Dave. That's a great end point and hilarious, because my one client told me recently, said, "I don't even know why I call you. You don't have the answers. I'm calling Abby." So yeah, they know that I can figure out their portfolio, what they're in, you know, that kind of stuff, but where strengths and weaknesses are. But, yeah, well, thank you, everybody. What a great topic. I mean, just so much stuff, and like everything an assistant can do for you, but just remembering, when is it time to actually get one, that kind of thing. I did learn for myself, and I've learned this from every RVP I've ever talked to. They say, you know, I should have done this earlier. You know, once they do it, they say, "I should have done this earlier." So, you know, do some research, talk to some friends, talk to people like us, that kind of thing. Next week will be released on the Telegram what the topic, well, sorry, next week is Roy Matlock. So Roy's coming on next week. We're going to be talking together, just him and I interviewing him to be on here for the day. So really excited about next week And we'll see everybody then. Have a great day. Thanks.